All right, thank you. Let's take a look into the Word of God tonight. And Proverbs is where we are. And this is the third in a series out of this particular section of Proverbs on the subject of our relationship with God, what the book of Proverbs says about a relationship with God. Of course, this is just some key verses and passages that deal with that. But chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14. Now, I want to go ahead and read the other two verses that we've been dealing with, because it's very important to recognizing the context of this statement. Sometimes if we see these short statements and if we don't have any context to put them in, you know, we could come up with just about anything what this means. And so look at it, if you will, in verse 9, chapter 28, verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." All right, so it has to do with sin and us hiding it as an interference to our prayer and even what God actually thinks about our prayer. He basically considers our prayer the same as he does the sin that we're hiding. So then you come down to verse 13. That has to do with our worship then. Then verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And now in verse 14, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." So it's still dealing with our relationship with God. So consider this in relationship to concerning our relationship with God. "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." There's a statement that I heard many years ago and several times from another preacher, and it was that too many Christians have just enough Christianity to be miserable. And did you know, that's a sad commentary, but it's true. There aren't, when it really comes down to it, you look at the number of professing Christians, and many of them, in sound churches that you would say, well, they believe what they're supposed to believe, but they're not very happy about it. As a matter of fact, There are some preachers that I know that consider themselves very, very sound. And I would say I would agree with them on most things. So it's at least the things that I don't they're not major doctrinal issues that make any difference as far as I'm concerned, but it probably does with them, but doesn't with me. So the strange characteristic about it is, though, the way they talk about and the way they present what they believe, they sound like they're almost bitter about what they believe. They're just kind of bitter people. They don't seem very happy about what they believe. When God gives happiness, this verse says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway." Now, that's a statement of fact. Happy is the man that feareth alway. So we can take that exactly for what it is. And of course, we have to understand what's meant here, but whatever this means, you can take that and run with it. You know, you can just take that and live by that. Happy is the man that feareth alway. So, are you happy? You don't have to answer that, but it's a question to think about. So, are you happy? Well, if you're not, here's the problem. And if it's the right kind of happiness, here's why. Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So the last half of the verse gives us a little bit of understanding of the first half of the verse. When God gives happiness, it is the only happiness that is genuine and lasting. The world has happiness. You know, to the world, the common thing is, what's happening? And their happiness is based on what's happening. You know, that's what determines whether they're happy or not. I know people, and I hear others talking about people they know, that say they're Christians. They go to some kind of church. Some of them go to sound churches. And but boy, when things go bad, they're having nothing but a bad day. And when things go bad, they just kind of climb in their hole and stay there. Things will go bad for them. And I mean, as far as circumstances in their life, and boy, you don't see them for a while. And you get to try to talk to them, you find out it's almost like they're mad at God, and sometimes they are. People get mad at God because their life's not going like they think it ought to go. We probably all had a problem with that sometime. At least we wouldn't have said it that way, but that's about what it amounts to. Now, there's some contrast here in this passage. Happy versus mischief. Happy versus falling into mischief. That falling into mischief is the opposite of being happy. Trouble and sorrow. So the man that feareth always is set in opposition to the one that hardeneth his heart. So we come to a little bit of an understanding of what's meant here by the man that feareth always. At least we know this. He's a man that doesn't harden his heart. He's a person. It's a person. This is a person that doesn't harden their heart. The person that hardens their heart is not living and operating in the fear of God. They're just the opposite. They're hardening their heart. They have hard thoughts about God. And instead of their heart being softened and pliable and bending to the will of God and accepting the will of God, their heart gets hardened against God. So these are spiritual heart conditions we're talking about. The Bible here is talking about spiritual heart conditions. A heart that feareth God always, or always as it says, and a heart that is hardened against God and getting harder. He hardens his heart. Instead of softening his heart, humbling himself before God, accepting the will of God, he hardens his heart. Now, so we're looking at in the Word of God, what the Bible is talking about is a blessedness, the blessedness of the fear of God. You say, well, it says happy. Yes, it does. I want to mention something to you about that. But first, let's look at this. This almost seems to contradict. Happy is the man that feareth God always. And yet, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, I was going to touch real quickly on a few things, but 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love, but this verse says, he that feareth always. But 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now we'll come back to that passage again in a little bit. But what he's saying obviously here then in Proverbs is not the same kind of fear that John's talking about in 1 John. There are different kinds of fear. We fear different things. What John's talking about is the kind of fear that God's love for us and our love for God and God's people casts out fear. But there's a kind of fear we need to have and we must have. It's a fear that does not bring torment. And I can just get ahead of myself, so I will just throw this out there. Then it means then that the fear that Proverbs is talking about is a fear that includes love for God. It includes a knowledge of God's love for you. So it's included in this fear. When you think about fear, there's a healthy fear that we ought to have. Now, let me just say that I'm touching on this because there are a lot of people, and I know some Christian people. At least they say they are, and I take their word for it. But they're scared of things. They're scared of getting sick. I mean, literally scared to get sick. They're scared they might die. And I'm thinking, don't you know where you're going? I'm talking about people that are extremely faithful in church, but they're scared to get sick. There are people that are afraid of things that the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen. Now, there's a healthy fear. If we didn't have a healthy kind of fear, we'd do things like just jump off a cliff to see what's going to happen. Because we don't have any fear. You know, or we can be petrified of heights. We can have a fear of heights where we're scared to death. It's called a phobia. You know, we're just petrified. We can't get within 10 foot of a cliff without, you know, just freaking out. But there's a healthy fear. It keeps you from doing really foolish things. But there are people that are fearful of the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow? Where's our needs going to be? How's our needs going to be met? Next week, next year, when I can't work anymore. I mean, they're scared of that whole idea. We should be responsible, do what we can, but we have to trust God. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about having too much care about just our basic needs. God will take care of it. We can trust the promises of God, not and be careless and foolish. No, of course not. But we are to fear men in their positions of authority, but we're not to have the wrong kind of fear for them either. We're to fear God more. So there's a wrong kind of fear, and a fear that's of the wrong things. Things that we allow to get ahead or be more fearful to us than the fear of God. When we're too afraid of some of these other things that it keeps us from serving God, then we're afraid of the wrong thing. When we're afraid of men so that we can't serve God, we can't talk to men, we can't witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're afraid of the wrong thing. We're afraid of men when we ought to be afraid of God. That ought to be our fear. The Hebrew word that's used here, I want you to see this now. This particular verse, the Hebrew word for happy is the word asher. And it translated 18 times, it's translated happy, just like it is here. But 27 times, it's translated blessed. Blessed. A blessed person is a happy person. A person can be happy because of circumstances, but when they're blessed of God, they're happy in God. We can rejoice in God all the time. All the time, because God hasn't changed. When things seem horrible, and anybody else would say, how come you're happy? Because I belong to God. And He's not going to let anything happen to me that's not good for me. And besides that, you know, everybody here knows Brother Fowler. He went into a, I think it was a business store or something here a while back. He was telling about it, and might have been the VA. He goes around to the VA he goes there sometimes because he needs to, but then he goes there a lot of times just to visit with vets and witness to them. But whatever the case was, he went in. Matter of fact, that is what it was, is the VA. He went in and the guy said to him, how are you doing? And he said, I'm doing great. And the guy knew him and he said, how can you be doing so great? And he said, because I've got both legs. He doesn't. He's got both legs. He doesn't have one whole side, but he's got both legs. He's upright. He's walking. He's doing great. You see, just look around a little bit. I've had no problems in my life. I have anything to complain about. Nothing to complain about. I've had a few broken this, broken that, whatever, but so what? They heal up. Those are just like little owies compared to people that have real problems. But blessed. The word blessed in Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. That word blessed there, it's an intense, it's a double. So it's plural. It isn't just blessed one time. No, this blessed is Asher plural. And when the Hebrew does that, means it's intense. Intensely happy. Intensely blessed. Intensely blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You want to be an intensely happy person. Follow that advice. But it's more than that. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Throughout the day, into the night. That's what his meditations is on. It's on the Word of God. So it's his delight. Instead of sitting around and walking around and standing around with those other people, his delight. He's addicted to the Word of God. That's literally the idea. Day and night. It's where he goes all the time. Need something? Go to the Word of God. He's happy. Why? Because he's walking in the fear of God. Blessed is the man, the Word of God says, happy is he that feareth always. This man hardly is happy regardless of the time of day or the time or the circumstances. But because he dwells in the Word of God. Tremendous place to have your thoughts reside all the time. Whenever something comes up, the greatest trials in life, go to the Word of God. I should say, go back to the Word of God. don't pick it up for the first time and try to figure out where in the world do I need to read to get some help now. Familiarize yourself with the Word of God. God will use it in your life all the time. And all the time, in every circumstance, in every situation. The fear of God is an awe. It's a reverence for God. But it's an awe and reverence of God. We stand in awe of God because of His holiness. God is set apart. He's purer of eyes than to behold evil. He expects decency of us, humility of us, modesty of us. And if we fear always, we'll always have a regard for that because of our reverence for God. We'll treat everything differently. To understand this fear, you have to contrast with, again, the last half of the verse. It's different than the man who hardens his heart. When situations come up in our life that other people would harden their heart against God, our heart becomes softer towards God. We realize we're not in control, and it's a good thing we're not. We have a God that is in control, and all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them that love God, and are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for us, and that purpose is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we go to the Word of God, and we feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll help us to understand. But whether we understand or not, we can trust. We do not have to understand what God's doing. We don't have to understand why God's doing what He's doing. If we trust Him, we trust Him because we know who He is. If we know who He is and we know what His character is like, His holiness, His infinite love for us, when we know about God that way, His power, His omniscience, He sees all things. There's no such thing, for a child of God, there's no such thing, there's really not it for anybody. There's no such thing as a private life. God sees everything. He sees everything. It's nice to have some privacy from other people, but there's no such thing as being totally private. God sees everything. The fear of God, a real respect and standing in awe of the wisdom of God. No one has the skill and the infinite knowledge to do what God does. To know how things work and to make things work. You want the skill to know how to live? He gave it to us. How to have life and how to live. It's continual. He says to fear always. It's a continual state of how we live life. Living life moment by moment, in the fear of God. Moment by moment, living in the fear of God. Now, again, 1 John speaks of fear hath torment. But if you look at that passage, and I'm not going to take time to actually turn to it right now because of the time, but in verse 12, it speaks of if we love one another, it's because of God's love dwelling in us. It talks about how that perfect love, that's a love that's not only brought to maturity, it's perfected, but perfect love is sincere. It's not hypocritical love. It doesn't have any hypocrisy involved in it. The love of God doesn't have, it's not mingled with sin. The love of God is not combined with lust. It's separate from that. You see, that's, so as our love, in other words, we're talking, the Word of God's talking about sanctification. As our sanctification increases because of our fear of God and our knowledge of the Word of God, and spending time with God, as God works in our life and increasingly sets us apart unto Him for His service, other things that are sinful in our life and an offense to God, those things begin to go away. And increasingly, we want them to go away, and when they keep coming back and being a problem, it becomes more of a problem to us. But living, dwelling in the love of God and God's love dwelling in us, that means we're not only born again of the Spirit of God, but God dwells in us. That is, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we dwell in Him by exercising faith and love in Him. When we exercise faith, and what does that mean? Well, it means we see the promises of God, we see the commands of God, and we trust those promises. We see what God tells us how we ought to live, and we live that way whether it seems to fit or make sense or not. There are a lot of things that God expects us to do, and He will call upon us to do, that the world is going to say, that's crazy. That'll never work. Let me tell you something. When God says to do something and it's according to the Word of God, He will work it. He will work it. So we trust God. It's His work. Now, that kind of a love in the fear of God is what He's talking about. That has no torment. Because involved in that is understanding and really having a sense of the love for God, love of God for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, and John talks about this also in this same chapter in 1 John chapter 4. I wish you had time to actually go down through it, but we don't. But if you look at that passage, you'll realize it's talking about our increased sense of the love of God for us. God's love for us is infinite. But we don't have much of a sense of that when we're living in sin because we're cutting ourselves off from the light of God and the love of God. So we're not experiencing the love of God. But when we walk in the light of the Word of God as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Him and we experience the love of God. And the more that sense of the love of God in the midst of trials, in the midst of all kinds of hardship and pain and sorrow and death, and when those things come into our lives and we experience God's love for us, then we don't have the fear. Why? Because we're trusting the love of God. The kind of fear that has torment is not a problem because we stand in awe of God. We stand in awe of the love of God, stand in awe of the holiness of God, His wisdom. God knows what He's doing, and He knows how to do it. He never makes a mistake. I've made so many mistakes, I've forgotten to count. I couldn't count that far. I don't know how to count that far. And I don't want to be reminded of all of them. I know enough of them without being reminded. The fear of God. I'll give you some examples just quickly. The fear of God, though, comes from regeneration. It comes in the new birth. It has faith and love and joy that comes with it. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, I'll give you this example. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, you have an example in the New Testament church. The church there had had tremendous persecution. But they've been faithful to God. When the persecution broke out because of their testimony in the city of Jerusalem, the Word of God says that they were scattered. They went everywhere. What, running and hiding? No. They went everywhere preaching the Word. Because of persecution, they were scattered. But as they were scattered, they didn't stop preaching. Because they were walking in the fear of God and being obedient to God. And eventually, after God saved Saul of Tarsus, changed him, and then he came to Jerusalem, and boy, there's problems again, only it's a different kind of problems but for them, but it's a problem for the church. But now Paul was the one that they were after. But when he finally left town, things settled down a little bit. Then it says this, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria." So they took a deep breath and just sat back and took it easy for a while. It's not what it says, is it? It says they were edified. They could focus more on learning the Word of God. They could focus more and be together more without fear of persecution and be taught the Word of God. And the Word of God says they were edified. They became more built up in the faith. They were more strengthened, edified, built up. And it says, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And walking in the fear of the Lord. They were still living in a city that could break out in persecution anytime. A city full of people that hated Christ, were vehemently hateful of Christ. But they were walking in the fear of God, not the fear of man. And they were happy Christians. They were happy Christians. Blessed. In Psalm 2 and verse 11, walking in the fear of God means our greatest desire is to please God, to not displease God. Our greatest desire is to please God with our service. In Psalm 2 and verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear. Not fear of eternal judgment, not fear of the wrath of God. Not like a servant that's cowering. No, serving with such a reverential awe of God and His love for us. That we serve the Lord in that kind of fear and rejoice with trembling. And rejoice with trembling. That is, in a sense of trembling before God at how awesome He is, how great He is, how mighty. He can chasten us. But in awe of God, but serving the Lord with fear and rejoicing. Fear and rejoicing. Those are happy Christians. Those are happy Christians. The ones I was talking about before, what's the problem? There's a spiritual problem. They may be doing what they believe God would have them to do, but they're not happy about it. They're not happy about it. I've done that before. I've done what I know I'm supposed to do because it's my responsibility. But I'm upset because I have to do it. Because there's a lot of things that we have to do. There's a lot of things that preachers have to do that aren't fun. They're not fun. I mean, you want to just preach and people come flocking down the aisles to be saved and Christians get right. And you know, you don't want to have to go talk to somebody that needs to either get right or get out. You don't want to have to address somebody that keeps teaching something that's not true and just got to stand up and take a stand. But let me tell you something. When you come to the realization that God has a reason for this. It's not an accident with God. When you come to the realization that the apostles suffered persecution, they were beaten, and they went from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Now, when you come to that place where you can rejoice at taking a beating or a tongue lashing because it's a privilege to be counted worthy to suffer for His name, you'll be one happy Christian and nobody can take it away from you. Because they can't beat your joy out of you. They can't tongue lash your joy out of you. Because they don't have anything to do with it. God does. God does. And man can't take away what God gives. Walking in the fear of God. The hardened sinner is just the opposite. A person who hardens their heart against God. God says, this is what you're supposed to do. I don't want to do that. You can expect trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. Just the opposite. Welcome to being a miserable Christian. But it's much better to walk in the fear of God and be a happy Christian. Be blessed. It's all about our relationship with God, isn't it? It really is. So what is our relationship with God tonight?